I want to ask one of Sissel, come here for me. Let's put him on the spot this morning. Quickly come here, please. Come sit on this chair. Stand up. Wave for the people. Would you do me a favor? Would you just quickly run there and come back? Quickly jump on that chair. Sit down, quickly. Sit, quickly. Jump up. Would you wave at him again? Just sit. Thanks. Just wanted to check if he's awake. When he's awake. Just leave it there. Have you noticed? Sissel, quickly come here, please. Please sit. Did you check what he just did? Did you notice what he did? Please stand up. Did you see what he do? He walked to the church. He examined the chair. Will the chair hold me? No offense. Did you see that he lifted up the chair? He checked the legs. He wanted to see if the legs is going to hold him. Did you see? What did he do? Sissel, come sit. He did it again. I want to put him on the spot. Sissel's got more faith in the chair than he has in God. Do you know why I say that? Sissel will help me out with this one. Most times we as children of God want to examine why God is saying this. How will God do this? If God says, I will hold you, I will keep you, there's no need for you to inspect how God is going to do it. The same way the chair is holding Sissel, your faith will hold you. And your faith will prevail. Is somebody listening to me in this place? Thank you, Sissel. God bless you. Please bring him some biltong next week for his participation. So we don't go to a chair and sit on the chair, and before we sit, we inspect the chair and see if the pegs are going to hold us. We know that we know it has been built to hold us. The faith that God has been building in you is supposed to keep you. It's supposed to hold you. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody in this place this morning that believe with all of your heart that nothing is impossible for God. And that God can do all things, and whatever. You know, I've said it this morning. I want to say this again. Many people say, "Well, you guys are just you just think that everything is just happening. You just the name it, claim it kind of people." No, we're not name it, claim it kind of people. We are believe it, receive it kind of people. Whatever you believe, you shall receive. Would you tell your neighbor, "I'm a believe it, receive it kind of man"? If a woman, just tell her, "I'm a believe it, receive it kind of lady." All right. Come on, say this boldly with me. I'm a believe it, receive it kind of person. Whatever I believe, I can receive in Jesus' name. Now, please hear me, that you have been created to be a miracle worker. You have been created with breakthrough on the inside of you. Come on, you carry the presence of God Almighty. This is what people need to understand. You have been created with the Spirit of God within you. And that Spirit of God within you is powerful and is almighty. And Jesus said this. He says that you will do the works that I do and even greater works than these because I go unto my Father. Now I want you to listen to the book of Luke chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, I want you to take some notes and open your Bible, read this with me. Luke chapter 9 verse 1. You can get that on the screen, please. This is speaking about Jesus. He says, then he called these 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Just pause there before we're going to go to verse 2. Then Jesus called these 12 disciples together and he gave them what? He gave them power and he gave them authority. Say this with me. He gave them power and he gave them authority. Come on, one more time. He gave them power and he gave them authority. To do what? He gave them power and authority over demons. I've said this before, I'm going to say this again. There's no demon stronger than the blood of Jesus. There's no familiar spirit more powerful than the power of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. There's no power in darkness greater than the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know that cancer's got a name? Cancer. Come on, flu has a name. It's called flu. Poverty has a name. It's called poverty. Fear has a name, it's called fear. But did you know that the Bible says that he's received a name above every other name? In other words, his name
The name of Jesus is more powerful than the name of cancer, the name of sin, the name of lack, the name of poverty. Come on, the name of demons. His name is greater than Beelzebub. His name is greater than Muhammad. His name is greater than Buddha. My God. His name is greater than Hare Krishna. His name is greater than Lucifer. His name is greater than Gabriel. His name is greater than Michael. He has a name which is above every other name. Tell that name, in Jesus' name, you are coming down right now. His name is above every other name. He said, I've given you the power. I've given you the power. I've given you the power. And the authority over every demonic power that is. And to cure diseases. To do what? To heal the sick. Please take note, the Bible doesn't say to pray for the sick. He says to cure the sick. To heal sicknesses and diseases. Let's go to verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Pause there. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You can never preach the kingdom of God without seeing the manifestation of the power of God. Jesus said, when you pray, you should pray as it is in heaven, so it shall be on earth. What we need to understand, there's a big difference between praying and commanding. Sometimes to pray is a sign of unbelief. Come on, I'm getting into my teaching mode now. Sometimes to pray is a sign of unbelief. Many times we pray about what Jesus says, command. Many times we pray over things that Jesus said, I've already done. Oh Lord, use me. Jesus says, I give you the power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. You already have it on the inside of you. What do you need to do? You need to understand the principles of how to operate the healing power through you. And this morning is going to be an importation morning. I believe that these people are going to be ignited with the fire of God to lay your hands on the sick and to see them recover. You're not going to dial a pastor. When somebody's sick, you're going to step into that room and you're going to command that sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse you, you foul spirit. I release the healing fire of Jesus. Be healed. Done. Amen. Come on, stay with me. Done. So he has sent him to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now I want to ask you to go to verse 6 quickly. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Did you see what they did? They did what they were commanded to do. Jesus doesn't ask them if you are willing to do it. He says, no, I'm giving you the power and I'm giving you the authority. And the reason I give you the power and the authority is to go and heal the sick. Because when you heal the sick, people will know that they know that the kingdom of God has come near. John's disciples come and he says, John is in the prison, but he's asking the question, are you the one or are we waiting for somebody else? Jesus said, you tell that John what you see. What do you see? The deaf is hearing. The blind has received their sight. The lame is being healed. Come on, the dead is being raised. When do you know that the kingdom of God has come? It's when you see the full operation of kingdom power. What is kingdom power? Jesus says, I give you the authority. What does it mean? I said it last week. Who remember? Jesus gives you the power of attorney. He says, don't ask me to do what I've already given you. This is the problem with most of our Christians. We pray about stuff that Jesus says command. Come on, do you hear me in this place? No scripture, you will not find a scripture where the Bible says that Jesus prayed for the sick. Not one scripture. Because praying for the sick means you need backup for what Jesus already given you. Why do you think that many people pray and see no results? Well, it's a twofold thing. Remember now, I'm talking from a standpoint of somebody praying for the sick. Obviously, the sick, the one that needs healing, there's some things in your life that you need to do in order to receive the healing. First of all, number one is you have to forgive. You can't hate and expect God to heal. The Bible says if you hate somebody, you're a murderer. Number two, your tongue draws sickness and it also draws healing. Most people curse themselves. I'm going to say something that people are going to hate. I have to throw this in. When you touch the anointing of God, sickness will come. People die young because they touch the anointing of God. If you don't agree with something or someone, zip it. Don't speak against it. Don't stretch out your hands towards it. It's more important to pray for them than to be right. Who hears me in this place? Lest You heard the Spirit of God, and sickness comes on you. The Bible even goes further. He says, because you've touched my prophets and you've done my prophets harm, I will keep your bread away from you. There will be lack and famine in your house. Is somebody listening to me? Don't be quiet on me this morning. I'm teaching you right now. You have to believe. Jesus didn't say, go, my faith has made you well. He says, go, your faith has made you well. So it's a conjoining faith. Amen? My faith, your faith, bang. So it goes on. When Jesus gave them the power to heal the sick, they didn't go and pray for the sick. You might say, what about the book of James that says the prayer of faith shall heal the sick? I'm going to teach you what the prayer of faith is. When the book of James speaks about the prayer of faith, what is the prayer of faith? The prayer of faith is something that you do before you pray for the sick. Miracles don't happen when I get here. Miracles happen when the mic falls off. Miracles happens behind the scenes, behind closed doors. Private times with God is the most important thing, because that stirs up the inner man. This is what Jesus did. Jesus prayed when everybody else was sleeping. He was seeking. Come on top of the mountain, seeking the face of God. Then he will come down and heal the sick. So what he was doing was he was releasing what he was getting filled of. You're going to experience our holy presence sweeping across this place. In the next 15 or 20 minutes or so, you're going to feel it. I'm telling you, God is going to anoint these people afresh. The fire of heaven is coming down. If you believe it, say hallelujah. Now, I would like to go through some things. Praise breaks through atmospheres. You know, when you praise, doors of prisons are opening up. Who knew that when Paul and Silas were singing hymns, praising songs? Not that roar my soul. No, I don't think Paul sang that. I think Paul sang, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He broke my chains. I am free. Praise God. Now I can see, oh, look what the Lord has done. And I think Silas was saying, oh, Paul, why are you singing? Sing, brother. Praise, breakthrough atmospheres. You can feel bad. You can have a bad day. Get your praise on. Oh, I want to tell you to ask your neighbor politely. Get your praise on. Get your praise on. There's something shifting right now. So praise breaks through atmospheres, but adoration takes you into the Holy of Holies. Who hears me right now? Praise breaks through atmospheres, but adoration takes you into the Holy of Holies. What happens when you preach the word? Let me quickly tell you. When it comes to healing and the miraculous, it's not just the healing of the physical body. Whatever miracle you need, the most important thing is atmospheres. Atmospheres is everything. When you preach the word, what you actually do is you make the atmosphere pregnant with expectation for the miraculous working power of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. Faith cometh by what? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So the more I preach the word to you, the more faith builds up on the inside of you. Come on, the more. This is just how the word of God is being released to the earth. That when you hear the word, something stirs in you. Come on, this is that fire that you feel. Come on, why do you feel like you normally you're prim and proper, but when you hear me preach now, there's something in you that says, yeah, can you miss those? There's something. Do you feel it? That's the word. It's the word that comes alive on the inside of you. That's what's happening to you. So atmospheres is everything. Now, I want you to hear me. The kingdom of God moves through sound. God spoke and things came to life. So who hears me? The kingdom of God moves through sound. Acts chapter 2, when they prayed together, the scripture says they came a what? A sound from heaven. As of a what? A mighty rushing wind. So this is why the difference between praying and commanding is very important to understand. Because faith lives from a commanding position. Please say this with me. Faith lives from a commanding position. Somebody awake in this place. Faith lives from a commanding position. Amen. Faith is voice activated. I said faith is voice activated. So the kingdom of God moves through sound. And this is why when God said, let it be light, God didn't make. He didn't make He didn't make light with his hands. He spoke it. He released a sound. He's releasing a sound into nothing. Into nothing. Because faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So God spoke into something that he couldn't see. And it came into existence. Why? Because he spoke a word. So this is why. Do you know what happens when we pray in the Spirit? Many people think that when you pray in tongues that everybody's waiting for interpretation. That's wrong teaching. Not every, there's a big difference between praying in tongues, all right? The prayer of tongues that I pray before the Lord. So in other words, if I go into my room and I pray in tongues, I don't have to ask God, Lord, give me the interpretation. I don't need the interpretation. Because when I pray in the Spirit, I stir up the Spirit man on the inside of me. Paul says that when we pray in the Spirit, our flesh dies. We don't know what we say. We don't need to know what we say. But our spirit communicates with God's Spirit. That's where the power lies in. Is somebody listening to me? And you stir things up in you, on the inside of you. So when you start to pray in the Spirit, do you know what you're doing? You are creating a sound. When I pray for you, I can't pray in tongues. Then I need interpretation. Because when I pray in tongues to you, you're not going to understand what I'm saying. But tongues with the interpretation is exactly the same as a prophecy. So say for instance, he prays in tongues and it's an audible prayer and you'll feel it. You feel, and here comes the interpretation. So I give the interpretation. It's as good as we have given you a prophecy. But when we pray in tongues, just because we pray in tongues, it's to stir ourselves up in the Spirit. And when you start to pray in the Spirit, listen, it's dimensions where no Satan, no demon can ever get into. You stir up what is on the inside of you. Come on, can we get the last verse quickly on the screen? I want you to see this. The Bible says that they came across in the book of Acts a girl with a spirit of divination, a dividing spirit. And you know, those things are coming to divide and to try to conquer. But they can't conquer anything because the blood of Jesus is greater. But do you know what happened with Paul? Paul came to a place where he was so irritated with Satan. Now I'm speaking to the irritated people. You're sick and tired of that. You just want to... Where are you? Where are you hiding away? Who's irritated with every force of darkness that's trying to come against you? Come, who's irritated with that nagging thing in your ear? Who's irritated? Lift your hand. Now, and this she did for many days. So this lady, or this girl, she irritated them. Oh, these are the men of God. These are men of God. She mocked them. And the Bible says, but Paul, greatly annoyed, I like that one, turned and said to the spirit, not to the girl. This is very important to understand. When you cast out demon spirits, it's got nothing to do with the person. If that person says, give me water, say, for a umlek, I'm not giving that thing water. Because it's not you needing the water, it's that spirit that doesn't want to come out. So he gives you a distraction. Oh, ek is dors. Hang aan, geen nou wag in jou, nou water. Maar eers gaan ek jou vastrap, sister. Jy kom hier uit. I've never seen somebody in a boxing ring, bang, 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 and the round is not finished. Oh, water, asseblief. No, you fight that fight. And they encourage you when you don't swallow the water, spit it out. All right, so we're not going to, listen, when you deal with that spirit, you deal with the spirit. This is why Paul said he turned and he said to the girl, no, he said to the spirit, I command you. Oh, that's it. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. What did Paul say? Hang on, we're going to call a fast for a whole week. I'll come back now because this thing is strong. No, he was irritated and he was annoyed. And he turned around and he said, I command you in the name of Jesus. Like I commanded Cecil, sit. And he said, he didn't ask questions. You know, when you get into a commanding position, this is why Jesus says, I give you power over every demonic power. He says, over scorpions and serpents, you'll tremble on them and nothing shall by any means harm you. No principality and power is higher than the command of Jesus Christ. So we have to understand when to command and when to pray. Somebody help me out. You know? And I say this with utmost respect unto God, I'm stirring your faith now. If God doesn't move, I can move God. How do I move God? I move him with my faith. God is obliged, according to his word, to act when I act in faith. Come on, somebody. When I stir myself up in faith, That's when I please God. And God always, listen, this is what people miss. And this is what the whole church, the body of Christ, miss. Many people say, well, it's not God's timing for me. Well, if it's not God's time for you to be healed and to be blessed and to be delivered, then it means His word fails. I don't have 8 steps to healing. I only have 1. His name is Jesus. Is somebody listening to me? Many people say, well, it's not God's time. So when is God's time? God's time is when there's faith, God is there. God cannot deny His word. If there's an atmosphere filled with faith, God is always showing up. Come on, God is always moving on the behalf of the person that exercises His faith. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? Come on, I declare to you right now in Jesus' name that from this morning, you'll step into a dimension of supernatural faith. Supernatural faith that will shake the gates of hell, that will shut the mouth of the lion. Come on, you'll do greater things than Him, because He will go unto the Father. Come on, I declare to you that spirit of faith is about to resurrect some dead stuff in your life. Come on, right now I declare and decree, I command you in Jesus' name, rise to the occasion and say, greater is He that is in me. Come on, if you believe that, give Jesus a great shout of praise in this place. I command you. Sometimes, now, here's the key. The Bible says that there came a point where Elijah prayed 7 times. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He didn't stop. Sometimes you have to contend for the miracle. I'm going to give you an example. What I have seen, sometimes you pray for people. And so say for instance, I start here and there's a deaf ear. And you lay your hands on the ear and nothing happens. You don't stop. Let me tell you what I do. I move on sometimes. Deaf ear, yes, bang, it opens up. What happens with this guy? His faith gets stirred up. So I go back. I contend for the miracle. The kingdom suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. So you don't just sit back and say, oh, next time, it's not God's time. I had this unfortunate situation that somebody was on my team, and we prayed for people, deaf ears. And there was a guy that came out desperately, and somebody prayed for this guy, and it didn't happen. And he turned to the guy and he said, sir, it's not God's time. In His time, He'll do it. And then you can see the despondent face, and the guy turned away, and I heard it. And I said, hang on, stop. I stopped everything. I said, come here, sir. I said, I want to ask you, forget what that guy said, and sorry for what he said. I said, you believe that Jesus? He said, sir, I came with an expectation. I said, come here. And I rebuked that thing. And his ear popped open. And you can see the whole face changed of excitement that Jesus Christ is alive. You don't just give up. You don't give up against a defeated foe. Listen, it's time that you fight again for your children. I said, it's time that you fight again for your ministry. It's time again that you fight for your faith. You fight the good fight of faith. And you hold on to eternal life. And you don't stop. You contend for that miracle. Now, I want to go deeper. Can I go deeper? On Elijah's word, rain stopped. And I will be mocked for what I'm saying now. The time is here that we're going to see those times where the Elijahs will rise up and say, we stop the rain. The time is coming where the Elijahs will pray and rain will come. The time will come where nations will cry because there's no rain. And God will use His servants to release a word and rain will come. Is somebody listening to me? Mark my words, it's coming. And so there was no rain on earth. And then Elijah prayed because he said, on my word, it will rain again. If you understand that Elijah understood the power of attorney, he said, I'm not going to fast about it. When I know in my spirit, God says He's sending rain. Rain is coming. Then I'll command it. So what happened was Elijah prayed. The scripture says he prayed. And then he told his servant, please go out, come back and tell me what do you see. You see, what you see determines where you'll go. What you see will determine what you're preparing for. I'm getting deep now. The servant came back. He said, I see nothing. Elijah prayed again. What happened? He contended for the miracle. But I'm teaching you something now. Came back the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. Eventually he says, there it goes. I see a cloud. Have you noticed? He didn't say, I see thunder. I see the sky is gray. He didn't say that. He said, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand. This is the thing between a man living in faith and a man living in sight. Elijah didn't ask God to send the cloud. The cloud is never a sign for the man of God. The cloud is always a sign for the servant. A man that walks in faith does not need a cloud to announce that rain is coming. When you live from a commanding position, you command the blessing of God. Okay, I think that people are listening to me now. I think it's soaking in. The cloud was not there. When the servant came back, he said, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand. That didn't get Elijah excited. Elijah was excited when he said to the servant, what do you see? Because Elijah already saw the super. Elijah already saw. A man that lives in the supernatural doesn't expect natural things. He expects supernatural things. If I tell you right now, we walk outside, there's no clouds, and I tell you, brothers, there's a big storm coming, you're going to think I've lost my marbles. But the man of faith calls the things that is not though they are. This is why I'm here to tell you right now, you decide on a thing, as the book of Job, the Amplified Version says, you decide on a thing, and you decree it, and God will establish it for you. You call the things that is not though they are. And when the voice came out of him and he said, go up, eat quickly, because rain, the abundance of rain is coming. That ignited God to move. I want to say something bold, a bold statement. God will never, ever, ever allow his servants to make a mockery of. When God heard his servant is saying, rain is coming, God said, I'm going to back this up. I think the servants, I'm just seeing a cloud, you know, as big as a man's hand. And he said, that's enough. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Prepare for rain. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. Because one man had faith to announce it. Somebody listening to me. So there's certain places in your life. So I'm going to quickly touch on this. Very quickly. I've touched on this before, dealt with this, but I have to, for the sake of the people that sits here. Now, you have to understand, we all know there's the three dimensions of praying. When you pray, we all know there's the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy. So we understand that. You know, the Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So what the scripture is saying, when I enter his gates, there must be thanksgiving in my heart. Not complain. Not aramaak, but thanksgiving. You thank God with all of your might. I want to ask parents to do me a favor. All right, I'm not talking to parents of small kids. I'm talking to parents of grown kids. If your children is serving the Lord, you've got more than enough reason to praise God. More than enough. Because you'll spend eternity with your children. Who hears me? And you can say whatever you want to say. And we know it's God's grace, but it's because of your faithfulness towards God that God is bringing your children in. Children don't do what you tell them to do. They do what they see you do. Wave at me if you hear me. So you've got thanksgiving in your heart. If you're alive this morning, you can be thankful. Come on, if you're healthy, be thankful. Come on, if your eyes opened up this morning, be thankful. If you have food in us, be thankful. If he's your God, be thankful. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And then we enter into his courts with praise. Who remember I said that's when atmospheres are shifting. Come on, that's where struggles are being broken. Come on, that's where shackles are being destroyed. Wave at me if you're with me right now. So when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, we all know that he took his disciples with him. And all of them were sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the night where Jesus was sold out by Judas. I'm thinking about Jesus right now. I think about, the Bible says, even his brothers didn't believe in him. Imagine seeing miracles right in front of your eyes, hearing a man speak with such authority. The Bible says, I've never heard a man speak like that. And still the brothers don't believe in him. Still Peter denied him. Still Judas sold him out. Amen. Still Thomas said, no, I won't believe unless I put my hand in your side. Come on, imagine what Jesus had to go through. But that night, the Bible says, he was taking his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here and wait. I'm going to go into a deep level of miracles. Are you ready? Quickly, he sat there, and he said, pray with me. And he took Peter, James, and John, and they went a little bit further who remember the scripture says that. They went a little bit further, and then he turned to them and he says, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. And what did he say? He says, watch, stay and watch with me. One translation says, wait with me. When Jesus felt death in his soul, what did he do? He didn't throw in the towel. He knew that the feelings is subject to change. And the Bible says he went a stone throw away. A stone throw away. Away from them. And he fell to his face. And he started praying, Father God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. Who remembered I've touched on that? So what Jesus was explaining to them, he says that if you want to have access quickly to the courts, you have thanksgiving. Or through the gates. When you want to go through the gates, the tabernacle was created with a gate, a door, and a veil. Okay? Did you know that the gate has a name? Even in Israel today, if you speak about them, about the old temple and the gate, it's still known as the way. The gate was called the way. Then there's a doorpost that you have to go through. Then you go get into the inner court. But did you know that that door had a name? Truth. It's called truth. The door is called truth. Then there was a veil before you get into the Holy of Holies. Did you know, and this is a fact, that the veil is called the life. The gate is the way. The door is the truth. The veil is the life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through him. Now, here's where I pray. And I pray some more. And I pray some more. Come on, you know this. And I pray some more. And I get tired and I get hungry. And I give up. Especially with food, huh? When Elijah felt discouraged, the angel said, hey, eat. Take a nap, you'll feel better. And for 40 days he was strengthened. Hij moest erbij lekker koek geweest. Can I teach you the difference between praying and commanding? So yeah, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. This is where you, this is what you do. You worship God, but you sing songs that you sing the words, but it's not here. Bless the Lord of my soul, but you're thinking about all your problems. Who knows what I'm talking about? There's no thanksgiving. There's come on, let's call it the Jimmy dimension. Give me, Lord, remember my name is Jimmy. Bless me, the four of us, no one else. Lord, don't bless my enemies. Lord, I pray that fire will come down. Lord, when they walk, Lord, let them just trip over something. Oh, Lord, I know you don't like them as much. Meneer, nou lieg nie eens in die kerk. This is how we pray. Hy weet waarvan ek praat. It's just me, and you yawn, and you fall distracted. People worship this way. This is why Jesus says the day is coming that people will worship him in spirit and in truth. The day is coming where people will be more consumed with him. They will hear, in their worship, they will hear the abundance of the sound of rain. They will see breakthrough long before they even walk through the doors. They will know that they know that they know that God is about to do something. So Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, come with me. We're going to go to that place where praise will change atmospheres. We're going to go through the door. But here is where the emotions comes up. And now hear me. Here is where you pray. Say with me, pray. Here is where you feel. Say feel. Let's do that again. Here is where I pray. All right, I pray here, I ask here, I beg here, I repeat myself here. Here is where I feel. This is the dimension of emotions. It's where you feel. And this is, you have to be very careful to be in this place. In this place, you know what I feel? Dan kry ek almal jammer. I want to give everybody bread. I promise you, yeah. I have to be very careful. Then it's, Lord, can I take everything I've got? Just sow it, just give it away. Take it. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. Some people feel emotions here. So they cry and it's about their feelings and some of them are just in awe of God. But Jesus, when he felt this way, he went on a little bit further to the place of command. In this dimension, we never beg. We never ask. We command. From this dimension, I'm teaching you something now. From this dimension, you dwell in a dimension where God abides. And in him, his word is yes and amen. In here, it is finished. In here, he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. Come on, in here, he's the name above every other name. In here is the place where he says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Because in here, it's no longer you who live, but Christ that lives in you. In here, there's a zeal for your Father's house that are eating you up on the inside. Come on. Here, there's a fire in your bones. As the prophet said, there's a fire in my bones. Come on. Is somebody listening to me right now? And so what people do is people live a life here where they just pray and pray. Oh, Lord. Lord, if it be thy will, please heal my brother. If it's not thy will, Lord, let him just slip away in private. God bless him. Hallelujah. Mwah. And then family members are being called. You're going to have to go to church. Oh, I don't go to church. There's a funeral. See you there. The only time most people see a church is with a funeral. Hey. Some people will be late to their own funeral, by the way. That's a discussion for another day. So here is the biggest mentality. In here, we forget the authority that we possess. I'm teaching you something great. Jesus says, I give you power, and I give you what? Authority. Power, I'm getting in there, and then we're going to pray, and God's going to say, George, where's George? Can you help me in the front? So here, quickly. A recap. The kingdom of God moves through sound. Say with me, through sound. This is why the Bible says in the book of Acts, as they prayed together, in what? In one accord, the place was shaken by the power of God. So I'm going to teach you something. So what we do now is we get here and we pray. We start to pray. So my job is, and it's going to become your job to the people that you teach the presence of God. All right, hear me. My job is to make Jesus real to you. My job is to make sure that you give him worship and adoration. Because what does praise do? Praise shift atmospheres while adoration takes you into the Holy of Holies. Is somebody listening to me? So what we do is now, I change what I say. I tell you, listen, let's start to pray in the Spirit. So what you do is, very privately. But that's not what the case is. The kingdom of God moves through sound. God said, let, and light came. Come on, let. There came a what? A sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. That sound brought power. Say with me, the sound brought power. Say this again, the sound brought power. I hope you hear where I'm getting at. Jesus says, I give you power, and I give you authority. So the sound brings the power. So everybody prays in one accord, in the Spirit. So you stir up the Spirit man within here. And maybe it's new to you. Maybe you hear all these people praying in tongues and you don't understand what's going on around you. Just be still and know that he's God. So you pray and you pray and you pray in one accord. You will feel there's a shift in the atmosphere. Come on. And do you know what happens when the shift in the atmosphere comes? Suddenly the presence of God. All right, I heard something about the Shekinah glory, that people say that the Shekinah glory, and I don't know what nonsense they spoke against the Shekinah glory, but I want to tell you the Shekinah glory is an ever-present move of God's Spirit. The Shekinah glory is all-abiding, ever-present presence of God Almighty. The kavod glory, as the Hebrew language says, kavod, not kabot. Kavod is a tangible, weighty presence. This is where people pour their souls out to God. They weep. So what's happening now? Come on, I'm getting somewhere. So we pray up in the Spirit. And what happens? Sounds bring power. Come on, stay with me. Sound bring power. Come on, again, sound bring power. If you think about heaven this morning, many people have been raised in churches where everything is silent. And you know, I heard a guy says there's no scripture in the Bible that God says we have to be loud. Well, that's not what I've read. My Bible says, loof for merry trommel, and loof for merry harp, loof for merry klinkende cymbale, that alles wat awesome het, die Here loof. Oh, come on. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. The Bible even says we have to lift up a voice of triumph. How do we shout victorious if we don't look victoriously? Amen. So sound brings power. So we pray, and everybody's lifting it up, and there's a shift in the atmosphere. What happens? Suddenly there's a holy fear of God. And the holy fear sweeps in, and people fall on their faces, and they cry out to a living creator. And you know what happens then? Suddenly authority sweeps in a place. Whew. What happens then? Then people get out of wheelchairs. Deaf ears open up. The blind see. Because in that realm of authority and dominion, there's no devil in hell that can stand. Why do you think I always tell the people, come on, lift it up, pray loudly. Don't pray, pray loudly. Because the supernatural is moved with sound. Who's listening to me? Then you don't beg, you command. Now what I want you just to say quickly, and I know we're almost out of time. But I always teach people, when you get into the presence of God, you'll know when you're in the presence of God. You know when you know that you know that you know that nobody's around you no more. You came in, there was a couple of hundreds of people, but the people disappeared somehow. Vanished. It's like the rapture. Bang. And it's just you and God. You feel like you're raptured. Amen? And you track your gezicht. Soos jy al, but jy het waar die gat nie. Dis so lelik van die mooigheid. Dink. Just think about what I'm saying. Sometimes after a Sunday service, they show me the pictures of me. I say, jeez. Jeez, don't do that. Don't do that. Bad. But beautiful. Not the bold and the beautiful, right? In here is the bold and the beautiful. But anyway, so we worship the King of Glory. And when you get to that dimension where you feel the shift, do you know what? Then you stand in your authority that the Lord has given you. And you command the blessing on your household. You command the blessing. Listen, I want to say this with boldness. These people that sit in this place, hear me right now. Eat the meat, spew out whatever. I'm speaking right now out of the throne of heaven. God gave me a word just now. And he said there's people sitting under the sound of my voice that can experience such a tangible release of favor. That you'll expand to your left and your right. You know, you didn't hear me. Everything that you touch, your ideas will turn supernaturally. God is going to bless and increase. Do you know why? Because we're going to experience the glory of God filling this whole house. The whole house. And in this atmosphere, you're going to see things shift in your favor. And we're going to practice. You know, we're not just going to say or preach something and not do it. You know, the anointing can be challenged. And the Holy Spirit leaves wherever he's challenged. We're not going to challenge the Holy Spirit. We're going to celebrate the Spirit of God. For he's the one who takes you through the dimension of thanksgiving and praise right into the throne where it's adoration and God becomes real to you. That's the dimension that you have to live in. Please hear me. When you pray for the sick, you'll receive nothing when you look at them. Sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind. You have to be bold and stern in what you believe. Because boldness might sound sometimes like you're rude, but it brings results. That's the only kind of faith that brings results. Is bold faith. Help me out. Bold faith. Become bold. And his presence makes you bold. If you speak to somebody, you hear how bold they are, they've been with the Lord. And Enoch walked with the Lord, and he was no more. For God has took him. His faith pleased the Lord. I want to ask some faithful people to stand to their feet.